This episode is sponsored in part by Honeycomb. When production is running slow, it's hard to know where problems originate. Is it your application code, users, or the underlying systems? I've got $5 on DNS, personally. Why scroll through endless dashboards while dealing with alert floods, going from tool to tool to tool that you employ, guessing at which puzzle pieces matter? Context switching and tool sprawl are slowly killing both your team and your business. You should care more about one of those than the other. Which one is up to you? Drop the separate pillars and enter a world of getting one unified understanding of the one thing driving your business, production. With Honeycomb, you guess less and know more. Try it for free at honeycomb.io/screaminginthecloud. Observability, it's more than just hipster monitoring.
I've been giving Azure a fair bit of grief lately for some embarrassing InfoSec lapses, and I think it's only fair for me to explain in a format beyond some tweets exactly why that is. The write-ups I've seen have all been deeply technical and more or less bury the lead, so let me begin with a quick summary of three issues that have pivoted my impression of Azure from serious contender, albeit one that targets a different market than the ones I talk to this is a security clown show that should be actively avoided. The first one is AzureScape. In September, Palo Alto Networks identified it, and the reason that it's important is because it's the first documented case that I'm aware of a hyperscale cloud provider that could enable one user of a public cloud service to break out of their environment and execute code on environments belonging to other users in the same public cloud service. Let me be very clear here. This is the terrifying outcome when it comes to cloud security. I, as a customer, getting read, write, and execute permissions to your cloud environment is the stuff of absolute nightmares. It validates every crap-ass, the cloud isn't secure, take that we've heard for the last 15 years. Further, Azure became aware of the issue when it was reported to them by Palo Alto's security researchers. This means that not only was an escape from the tenant environment into the control plane possible, but that Azure didn't detect it until they were explicitly told about it. Issue 2 was ChaosDB. In August, the folks at Wiz discovered the ChaosDB vulnerability in Azure's flagship Cosmos DB database. Their security researchers were able to gain complete unrestricted access to the accounts and databases of several thousand Microsoft Azure customers. If you take a look at who those customers are, you'll see a lot of big company names, none of whom are renowned for being comfortable with leaking customer data. Once again, the security researchers had access to the control plane, were able to read and write other customers' data, and Azure was only made aware of this when the researchers reported their findings instead of by the giant pile of alarms that should have been going off as soon as a customer managed to escape the tenant environment. And issue 3. This one was almost prosaic by comparison. Azure embeds a management agent in many services called Open Management Infrastructure, or OMI, which I insist is pronounced with three syllables, not two. In September, the Wiz researchers discovered that there were a series of vulnerabilities in this service, which amounted to the ability to run arbitrary code remotely as root if you were able to talk to the port this agent listened on. This was fittingly christened, "Oh my God," after what everyone said when they realized the implications. I'm not as annoyed by this vulnerability as I am the other two, just because customer mitigation is and was possible. Ensure that random networks can't communicate to the management agent's port on your VMs is one of those good security practices that customers should really have implemented as part of a defense in depth strategy. By contrast, the issue with the other two vulnerabilities is that customers were exposed despite doing everything right. So why do I care? This is the AWS Morning Brief, and I write last week in AWS. I rarely talk about Azure here because, as I've freely and frequently admitted, it isn't really my area. I don't see it being used to run large-scale web properties or workloads that aren't already Microsoft-centric. When I see it in customer environments, it's to run something like Microsoft SQL Server due to games Microsoft likes to play with licensing when you run it on other providers. But when I talked about this at reInvent last year with folks from large enterprises or name brand analyst firms, the reaction was universally the same. Horror at the breach, but also an unwillingness to scold Microsoft too loudly in public because, after all, who can afford to annoy a multi-trillion dollar company? you've still got to do business with them, after all.
This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing. And when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems. Or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. Try Vultr today for free by visiting vultr.com/screaming, and you'll receive $100 in credit. That's vultr.com/screaming.
I'm willing to take that risk because my failure mode here is what? That Microsoft gets upset with me and jacks up the cost of my Office 365 renewal? I'll risk it. Now, I will get scolded on Twitter for this if I'm not very clear here. Microsoft did, in fact, issue responses to AzureScape, Oh My God, and ChaosDB. So it's not accurate to say that they haven't said anything. My issue with these statements is the questions that they don't answer. Why was it possible for researchers to gain control plane access and you remained unaware of that fact? And when you say our investigation surfaced no unauthorized access to customer data, is that because your logging and telemetry only showed the researchers' activity? Or is the story closer to you don't have visibility enough to say one way or the other? How are folks who care about security, you know, customers, supposed to in good faith recommend Azure for workloads when these questions remain unanswered? I haven't seen their execs out on the speaking circuit explaining the answers to these questions. I can't fathom a scenario in which Google or AWS suffered from vulnerabilities like this and didn't make loud sweeping reforms that they talk about constantly just to rebuild the trust that this would have burned through. No cloud provider wins here. The narrative in a lot of enterprise boardrooms these days with respect to this incident isn't that Azure is sloppy, it's that the cloud is a giant ball of risk. I admit, I used to think that AWS and GCP's constant trotting out of their security models and how they're structured was boring. Every cloud provider does things this way. Why are you wasting our time? Except that apparently every cloud provider doesn't do things that way, and defense in depth is instead something that's more aspirational than accurate for one of the three big hyperscalers. Every cloud provider has vulnerabilities. They don't result in people scampering around the control plane with the squirrels. This is a whole new category of security breach for a cloud provider. Almost a year ago, I wrote an article called "The Future of Cloud is Microsoft's to Lose." In a lot of ways, I think their laconic approach to security may very well have done exactly that.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.